Tonight was billed as a special WrestleMania edition of SmackDown, WrestleMania-sized edition of SmackDown, with matches that I guess were too big for either night. We have two nights of WrestleMania again. I guess there was no room. There was no room for tonight's Fatal 4-Way. There was no room for tonight's Battle Royal. But tonight, it wasn't about that. It wasn't about any of the matches. It was about the promo work. The promo work for the Universal title match on Sunday, night two, is what carried this show tonight. All good stuff, although Roman Reigns, as great as he has been, was actually the weakest of the three. Which is not to say that he was weak, but Daniel Bryan and Edge knocked it out of the park. Grand Slam home run by both challengers in the triple threat match. That was the highlight of Friday Night SmackDown. Tonight was also the final SmackDown from Tropicana Field. Tonight's show, which it seemed pretty obvious, if you know, you could pick up on little cues that kind of indicate that it's a taped show. Tonight was not live. Tonight was a taped show. It was taped a week ago because today was the Tampa Bay Rays home opener from the Trop. And they had a move on out of Tropicana Field. Starting next week, Raw and SmackDown will be emanating from their new home in Tampa at the old USF Sundome. Now it has a different name. But that is going to be the new location for the Thunderdome going forward. Tonight is also my third live stream in 3 days, and I am so happy that you are joining me. We're going to talk about SmackDown tonight. We're going to run down the entire WrestleMania card for nights one and two with my predictions, and we got news. We got some news to go along with it about the opening match and the main event for night one tomorrow night. It is no longer a question. We now know what is going to open and close the show tomorrow night at Raymond James Stadium. And I'm going to have all of that for you. But let's not waste any more time. Let's talk about SmackDown tonight. This was the go-home show. This was the final show before WrestleMania tomorrow night. We are less than 24 hours away from kickoff of WrestleMania 37. Daniel Bryan was out for his go-home promo before the main event on Sunday. And the first thing he did is something that WWE is very odd because they don't like to acknowledge this. The first thing he did when he came out here was he acknowledged the virtual fans, the virtual screens. He talked about how great it is, man, the Thunderdome, it's beautiful. Just look at it. It looks fantastic. All the lights, all the fans projected onto the screens. He goes, you know, it's great, but nothing can replicate the experience of live fans, let alone being able to do it in the main event of WrestleMania. And he's not wrong, but it is a little odd. WWE usually doesn't even like to acknowledge that up until recently, they wouldn't even say utter the word COVID up until a couple of months ago. So it was nice to have Daniel Bryan come out and say what we already know, which is the Thunderdome is nice and all, but nothing can really replicate the experience of being in front of a live audience like you, all of you joining me tonight. It wouldn't be the same if I was doing this stream in front of a bunch of virtual screens. Although I guess you're all virtual, but you got to have that live audience. So he said, for somebody who's known for the word yes, he's been told no an awful lot in his career. People have said to him for years and years and years, you'll never do this, you'll never be that. He's run into that his entire career. Every time life told me no, he says, I said yes. And he was told that Roman Reigns said he would never tap him out at Fastlane, but he said yes. And people told him that he would never be in the main event of WrestleMania, and he said yes. People told him he would never wrestle again, and he said yes. Right? He's going down the laundry list of things. And when Adam Pearce said to him that main eventing WrestleMania this year was not going to happen, eventually Adam Pearce said yes. I thought the fire and the passion in his delivery was something that should be studied by everybody in that performance center down in Orlando. This right here was a masterclass in how to cut a fiery babyface promo. If you think of things in terms of a money-making promo, I don't really know that it's as much of an art form as it used to be. Especially now, all these pay-per-views, they all just sort of run together. But there was a point in time where you kind of lived and died by these big shows and these pay-per-views, and you really did rely on people buying the show, buying the pay-per-view, spending 20, 30, 50 bucks, whatever it is. And you have to talk people into buying the show, or you would have to talk people into buying a ticket to come to the building. It's kind of an old school wrestling mentality, but it's still valid today. You just don't really see too many real money promos anymore. This right here, what we saw here, this was the definition of a money promo. The first of two that we got here on, actually the first of more than two that we got here on the show, at least three. This was a money promo. If you were on the fence about this match, if you were on the fence about whether or not you should get night one or night two, if you were only going to get one night over the other of WrestleMania, this is the kind of promo that could have tipped the scales for you to night two as opposed to night one. And it's all because of this main event. It is the best promoted match on either night of WrestleMania. Even going into tonight, we already knew that. Bryan and Edge, more so than Roman, they just solidified that tonight. I thought this was fantastic. And he talked about how he'll do anything to win. Can Daniel Bryan walk out of the WrestleMania main event as the Universal Champion? And he chanted yes and threw his hands up in the air to end the segment. This was an excellent promo. We had the Street Profits. They were in the back, about to be interviewed by Kayla Braxton when they were attacked by Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode. The Dirty Dogs. They were attacked by the tag team champions. They brawled out into the arena before Otis and Chad Gable. The Alpha Academy joined them out there. Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio came out as well. This was for their fatal four-way match for the SmackDown tag team titles. This is how the match got started. It all spilled out into the building. Rey hit a suicide dive out onto Gable and Otis. Dominic followed that with a moonsault to the floor. They cut to commercial break. Late in the match, Rey and Dominic hit a double 619 spot to Ziggler and Roode. Looked like they had the match won. Dominic followed up with a frog splash. Otis broke up the pin attempt. All four teams broke out into a giant brawl. Montez Ford hit a big cannonball dive out of the ring. Gable hit Angelo Dawkins with the Chaos Theory rolling German, which will never not be impressive, especially when Gable does it to somebody bigger than him. I've seen him do it to Corbin. I've seen him do it to a couple of bigger guys, even bigger than Angelo Dawkins, but hit the Chaos Theory. Montez Ford, though, made a blind tag to Dawkins right before Dawkins went backwards for the move. And so after Gable hits the move, Ford hits a gigantic frog splash from the top rope. He looked like he wrecked Gable and gave him a very bad night. Just absolutely destroyed him with this frog splash. And Bobby Roode blind tagged himself in. Dolph Ziggler knocked Montez Ford out of the ring with a super kick. And Bobby Roode jumped on Gable for the pin to retain the tag team titles. I thought this was a lot of fun. This would have been fine, I think, on the WrestleMania card. It wasn't overly long. It was about 8 to 10 minutes. Nonstop action. And look, they can save Rey and Dominic. There's a story to be told of Rey and Dominic, father and son, becoming tag team champions for the very first time. And I'm okay with them saving that story for another pay-per-view. You know, whether it's next month, the month after, if they want to maybe hold off on it until SummerSlam, I think you can build to that. You can build to the two of them winning the tag team titles. I don't know if by then they'll have fans back in the buildings. Probably not. I mean, there's no sense anymore in waiting for that because you just don't know when that's going to be. I mean, after WrestleMania, they're going right back to the Thunderdome at least until July. So you can't really wait on that anymore, but I'm fine with that. And I thought this was a very good match. This was a lot of fun for the time that it lasted. So we had Nia Jax against Tamina. This was all about building up Tamina as a major threat heading into the tag team turmoil match with the women at WrestleMania and positioning her and Natty, who were part of that match, as the favorites to win. I think they may have gone a little too deep into it, to the point where it feels a little too predictable. I think they very much want you to believe that they're going to be the favorites and the winners coming out of that match, which is part of the reason why I don't think they will. We'll do predictions in a second here. So they had a short match. You know, it was nothing overly offensive. Tamina can only do so much. Tamina, you know, she's a bit older. Her knees are destroyed. So you're not really going to see her doing a lot of stuff physically in the ring. She is very limited in what she can do. Nia is also limited in her own way. And, you know, the less that she does, I feel like sometimes the safer it is for the person who's in the ring with her. So they had a short match. They built Tamina up. And later on, Tamina was going up to the top rope. Shayna Baszler tried to distract her. Natalya pulled Baszler to the floor. Baszler ran her into the ring steps. Nia pulled Tamina off the ropes, and Tamina ended up hitting a Samoan drop on Nia Jax. Had her beat, and Shayna Baszler broke up the pin for the DQ. So that was the end of that. Now, backstage, Kayla Braxton was interviewing the various teams who are going to be part of this tag team turmoil match tomorrow night. The Riot Squad, they were there. We also had Carmella and Billie Kay, they're going to be a team in that match. Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke showed up. We had Lana and Naomi. All of a sudden, a big brawl breaks up, and the last two women standing, the ones who destroyed and laid waste to everybody else, were Tamina and Natalya. So again, they very much want you to believe that these two women are the odds-on favorites in tomorrow night's match. They had a campaign-style advertisement that aired that clearly was narrated by someone who sounded very much like Seth Rollins. And it was talking about Cesaro and how he's been with the company for so long. This is the very first singles match he's ever had at WrestleMania. And he's never been Universal Champion. He's never done this. He's never done that. And praising Rollins and effectively burying Cesaro here in this commercial. And it ended with a line about how this video has been paid for by friends of Seth Rollins and is in no way, shape, or form affiliated with Seth Rollins himself. This was great, and the only question I had when it was over is, how come they only started doing these the day before WrestleMania? Like, these would have been very entertaining if they would have started airing these a few weeks ago on TV. WrestleMania is literally 24 hours away. And this is probably the best thing that Seth Rollins has done in a couple of years, predating the Messiah crap that he was doing on Raw. So that's really my only critique. I wish we would have gotten more of this in the build-up to this match on TV. So Daniel Bryan had his chance, as I mentioned, to speak at the beginning of the show. And so now it was Edge's turn. Edge is the other challenger in the main event on Sunday. Edge sat in a chair in the middle of the ring, and he talked about being in the crowd at WrestleMania 6. We've heard this story before. He was in the Sky Dome for the epic main event between Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior, and it was that night on that show that he knew what he wanted to do with the rest of his life. And he accomplished everything he ever wanted to do. All the fame and fortune, the championships, the big main events, the WrestleMania main events. He did everything that he set his mind to, that he wanted to do. The only thing that he did not do was end his career on his terms. And he managed to find his way back from neck fusion surgery, and it took him 9 years to come back and earn this title match at WrestleMania. He says he's not here to just phone it in. He's doing Hurricane Rana. I love how he specifically made mention of the fact that he's doing Hurricane Rana's off the top rope. Maybe he shouldn't be. But to prove his point that he's not just here to, you know, be part-time and collect a paycheck, he had to point out the fact that I'm doing Hurricane Rana's off the top rope. You will respect me. And he talked about Roman Reigns coming into the company as part of a three-man group, doing entrances, coming out of the crowd, using the spear as one of his signature maneuvers. And then he had the line of the night, really, on the show. He kind of laughed and he smiled and he said he called Roman Reigns the Samoan Edge. And I laughed. That was a great line. And so I put something on Twitter and I said, you know, that Samoan Edge line is just begging for somebody to Photoshop it. And you guys didn't let me down. One of my good buddies on Twitter, Mr. Dick Van Klondike. I got to shout out Mr. Dick Van Klondike. I want to make sure I show this little masterpiece that he put together here. This is what Mr. Klondike put together. There he is, ladies and gentlemen, right in the middle. I give to you Samoan Edge. I don't know who these two people on the left and the right are, but in the middle, you see, look how happy he is. This is how I want Edge to make his entrance now on Sunday at WrestleMania. This is the version of, I want to see Samoan Edge come to the ring with that, look at that giant walking stick with the lei around his neck and the grass skirt. I think that's what that is. Look at this. This is fantastic. But there's always competition in the marketplace. He's not the only one that put a fantastic Photoshop together. And I wish I could give credit to the person who did this, but I don't have a name. But here's one that's actually really, really good. This is Samoan Edge. This one is actually really, really good. I don't know who put this together, but the internet is undefeated. The internet is has a wealth of talent on the internet. So I just wanted to give you Samoan Edge because I was tickled by that line. I truly was. Now I will not be able to get those images out of my head. So he promised to be the next world champion because he dreamt it. And now he's going to manifest it. The exact quote, the way he closed out this promo. And again, I talked about the fire and the passion and the intensity in Daniel Bryan's delivery in his promo. Edge had that here in spades. And he ended the promo by saying, "You will put respect on my name." He goes, "I am the Rated R Superstar. Whether it's fate or God's will, I will become the next Universal Champion because I dreamt it. And now I will manifest it." And he had the big bug eyes coming out of his head like he's just a crazy man. This was another fantastic promo. Every bit as good as the Daniel Bryan one at the top of the show. Maybe even a little bit better. So as far as selling this main event on Sunday, Roman Reigns didn't even really need to say a word. This match was carried off of these promos, off of the words, by the two men challenging for the championship. And I like that because it makes the championship feel important. That these guys are this pent up with passion and they're talking about their story. I mean, you have two guys here in this main event. Think about this. If you would have said 2 years ago, 3 years ago, that the main event of WrestleMania 37 or the main event of WrestleMania 30, whatever, is going to involve Daniel Bryan and Edge challenging for the championship. These are two guys who were forced into an early retirement, who were told, "You will never be medically cleared. We cannot in good conscience allow you to perform in one of our rings." And not only did they come back and get cleared, but they're challenging for the championship. And one of them may well leave WrestleMania at the end of this weekend as the champion. That is a pretty cool story, and so they tried to tell that here in these promos, and I just thought they did a tremendous job. So we had the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale. We had the Andre, and thank you for that. Thank you for the super chats. Again, I'm going to be reading them a little bit later on. Everybody in the meantime is being entertained as they pop up here on screen. But we had the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Poor Andre, relegated to a taped edition of SmackDown this year. We had Akira Tozawa, Angel Garza, Cedric Alexander, Shelton Benjamin, Drew Gulak, Elias, Jackson Ryker, Eric of the Viking Raiders, Tucker, Gran Metalik, Humberto Carrillo, Kalisto, Jey Uso, King Corbin, Lince Dorado, Mace, T-Bag, Slapdick, Murphy, Mustafa Ali, Ricochet, and Shinsuke Nakamura. What a motley crew of talent that was. Before they even took the first commercial break, and they took several of them here in this Battle Royal, before they even hit the first commercial break, Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin are eliminated from the match. They were working together, and they both got dumped. They were not the first ones out, but they were two of the first people out of the ring. The ultimate indignity. As if these two have not been buried enough these last few weeks. And you got to know that these two poor bastards, I mean, they know what their future is. You know, again, unless the whole thing is a giant swerve and we're going to see them back together with Lashley tomorrow night, which I don't think is going to happen. These two are smart enough to know. And Benjamin has been in this company off and on now for almost 20 years. These guys are smart enough to know that being excommunicated from the Hurt Business, being removed from the top act on Monday Night Raw, the champion, they know that they're doomed. And there's nothing they can do about it. Because no matter how much talent they may have, no matter how hard they may try, Vince McMahon, you know, once he makes up his mind and he digs his heels in on something, if he doesn't see these guys at a certain level, if he doesn't want them associated anymore with Bobby Lashley, that's it. And the Hurt Business was always going to have a certain shelf life. I think the issue a lot of people have had, myself included, is that shelf life was not, you know, they hadn't hit the expiration date yet. There was still life left on that shelf. And these two guys, I feel like as they were dumped out of the ring tonight, they just, in their minds, they had to know that this right here is just the beginning of the end. And it makes me sad because it didn't have to be the end for these two just yet. Elias and Jackson Ryker were eliminated by T-Bar and Mace. Ali then eliminates Mace and then T-Bar. Kalisto tried to get a little Lucha House Party reunion going, but they were not interested. And Lince Dorado dumped out Kalisto. Metalik then dumped out Dorado, and Baron Corbin eliminated Metalik. So the three of them can hit the showers early for their siesta. Corbin, Garza, Ricochet, Uso, Ali, and Nakamura were the final six. They were the SmackDown six tonight in this Battle Royal. Nakamura dumped out Garza, Ricochet eliminated Ali, and a Jey Uso super kick eliminates Rick O'Shea. So he is gone. He is out of the Battle Royal. We're down to Uso, Corbin, and Nakamura. Nakamura eliminates Corbin, and then we are down to two. Nakamura goes for the Kinshasa. Jey Uso nails a super kick to the chest. Nakamura comes right back, hits the Kinshasa anyway, so he no-sells one of Uso's signature moves, which is fine, because 10 seconds later, Jey Uso would have his revenge. After being nailed by the Kinshasa, Nakamura goes to throw him out of the ring, and what does Jey Uso do? He reverses the momentum, and he throws Nakamura out over the top rope, thus no-selling the Kinshasa. So everybody is just no-selling everyone's moves. This is the way things are now in wrestling. This is what they do in WWE. This is what they did in NXT last night. This is what they do in AEW. This is just an epidemic problem in pro wrestling. It's like this virus that's uncontrollably spreading like wildfire. There is no vaccine for it. We're pretty much just fucked. There's just no going back. People are kicking out of big moves, and then 2 seconds later, they're not even selling the effects of it. It just drives me nuts. Maybe it's just me. But Jey Uso wins the Battle Royal. How about that? Main event Jey Uso finally wins something. And it's a good thing he did, because who was out next for the final closing segment of the show? As he was celebrating his big win, Roman Reigns, the tribal chief, was on his way down to the ring for the closing segment. And, you know, during this battle royal, and Michael Cole and Corey Graves were out there, and the announcers were talking about the high stakes in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And I'm watching, and I'm listening to this, and I'm going, I would love to know what these high stakes are. They never bothered to explain what these high stakes are, what makes the Battle Royal so prestigious. I would love to know. I'm waiting. And this is the other thing that drives me nuts. When we get to the Battle Royal every single year, they talk a lot. They talk and they talk and they talk about how meaningful it is. I'm sure to the person who wins, it means a lot. But they talk about how meaningful the Battle Royal is. When have they ever established that the Battle Royal means anything? That's a trick question, by the way. Don't think too hard on that. They've done nothing. They've done shit. The Battle Royal means shit. And it should. There should be something on the line in this Battle Royal. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Whether it's the right to, the number one contendership for a top title on the brand, or insert whatever stipulation you want. Come up with something. But make it mean something. Make it meaningful in some way. They talk about it, but they never actually explain to you what is so special or so important about the Battle Royal. So you get your name on a trophy, and then you don't see the trophy again for another 12 months. Talk to Cesaro, who got a big Battle Royal win in New Orleans for WrestleMania 30. That was 7 years ago. And I thought it was going to be meaningful. I thought it was actually going somewhere, and it went nowhere. which is why in the build-up to his WrestleMania match this year, part of the promotion for it is the fact that Cesaro has never had a singles match at WrestleMania. Because they had the chance to elevate him into a higher position after that Battle Royal win, and they dropped the ball, as they do so many other times. So please spare me the whole thing about how prestigious the Battle Royal is and the high stakes of the Battle Royal. You may as well just put a fucking steak on the line. The winner of the Battle Royal gets a steak dinner. At least then something would be on the line. If you promise me that if I won this Battle Royal, I would get free filet mignon, you know what? That would be meaningful. I would fight my ass off to win that Battle Royal. I'd be holding on to that bottom rope. I would handcuff myself to the bottom rope. You wouldn't be able to dump me out of the ring. But at least there would be something on the line. Fuck, now I'm hungry. Now I could go for some steak. God damn it. So it was time for the Roman Reigns show closing promo. Roman Reigns came down to the ring with Paul Heyman. Jey Uso was in the ring with him as well. And he said that when Roman Reigns shows up, WWE is winning. And he said, Daniel Bryan and Edge can have one good week. He could talk about one good week. One, you know, Edge won the Rumble. He had one good week. But he's been doing it consistently now for 30 weeks in a row since winning the Universal Championship last summer. Who changed the ratings for this show? Me. Who do you think made this title relevant again? Me. Talked about the Dreamers. Didn't mention Tommy. He left him out of the conversation. But he talked about the Dreamers and Edge and Bryan being Dreamers. And on Sunday, Daniel Bryan, you can't make me tap out. You can dream it, but it's not going to happen. And he talked about Edge. He said, Edge, you want to complete the comeback? He goes, that's garbage. It's not going to happen. I'm going to crush your dreams. Says, you think what I did this year was special? Wait until you see what comes next. Said he's the man with the golden hand. He saves careers. He turned to Jey Uso and asked him who gave you the greatest year of your career. On Sunday, the whole world will acknowledge him as the head of the table. And with that, Roman Reigns took his leave. That was SmackDown. I thought this was a fine show building up WrestleMania. There were a whole bunch of promo packages on this show running down the key matches. Orton and The Fiend, Big E and Apollo Crews. I'm going to talk about that when I get to the rundown of the Mania card. Because the Big E stuff tonight was also fantastic. I would put that up there as well with Edge and Daniel Bryan. So the promos and the promo packages tonight were absolutely just fire. I mean, this was the type of shit that can sell you on a show. So to that end, I thought SmackDown was actually a very effective show tonight. Interestingly, as great as the work has been that Roman Reigns has been doing, he was completely shown up tonight by Daniel Bryan and Edge. Daniel Bryan and Edge just knocked it out of the park with their promos. They mopped the floor with Roman Reigns, I thought. Roman was easily the weakest of the three, but they all had good promos, and that is the match I am most looking forward to on Sunday. That is the match, to me, that has the most unpredictable ending. Any one of those three men could walk away with the championship. You can make a believable argument for any of those three. So we're going to talk about WrestleMania now, nights one and two. For the second straight year, we have two nights of WrestleMania, and possibly for the final time, because I know next year the plan is to go back to one night. 8 p.m. Eastern start time for the main card both nights. Keep that in mind, because normally it is 7 o'clock. They have a pre-show that's like 2 hours usually. It goes from 5 to 7. The pre-show this year is either an hour or 90 minutes, but the main card starts at 8 p.m., not 7 p.m., so that's a little bit different than usual. They're going to have fans back for the first time in 13 months, not counting NXT at the COVID Coliseum down there. I'm talking main roster, WWE in a building or a dome. The first time we're getting live people in the audience in 13 months. They're aiming for 25,000 people per night. So, and there'll be some overlap there, but you're looking basically at 50,000 fans, give or take, between the two nights of WrestleMania spaced out. I'm sure on camera, on the hard camera, they're going to have a lot of people positioned behind the hard camera, so it'll look good. Everybody will be wearing masks. It'll be a little bit different, but I'm sure everybody will be vocal. Everybody will be happy to be there. It's going to be nice to have people back in the building. WrestleMania last year had some really good matches. You know, Charlotte and Rhea. That's the main one, really, that comes to mind. But it sucked. It sucked because you can't have WrestleMania in an empty, any kind of empty building, let alone an empty warehouse, basically, which is what it was. And this is before the Thunderdome. This is before the piped-in crowd noise. They had no choice. But that is not WrestleMania. So to get back into a giant stadium, to get back into an environment with people in pyro and the big set. I saw pictures of the set with the giant pirate ship. It's going to look nice. It'll be nice to just kind of get that WrestleMania feel back to it. By the way, before I move on, I want to mention this as well, because I know some of you were asking me about this. We got two contests left. We did one last night on the NXT stream for WrestleRumble.com. We gave away six championship belts to five winners. And we got two more contests coming up, including the Legends of WrestleMania belt giveaway. That is for tomorrow. And immediately after WrestleMania Night 1, when I am live on YouTube, I will be once again hosting the random drawing. And then on Sunday, it's the Stone Cold giveaway. Both contests, just $1 to enter. The cutoff time to enter the both the WrestleMania Pick'em contest, which you don't see there, and that Legends of WrestleMania belt giveaway, cutoff time is tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern. And for the Stone Cold giveaway on Sunday, 8 p.m. on Sunday is the cutoff for that as well. Go to WrestleRumble.com. It's only $1 to enter, and you may walk away with some gold. Always fun to help give stuff away. So WrestleMania this year, Bayley. Let's talk about Bayley here. Bayley has no match on this show. Bayley was one of the MVPs of the pandemic era. And to think that as big of a year as she had, and as many days, right, well over 300 days as the SmackDown Women's Champion, longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champion of all time, the fact that she doesn't have a match is just completely bizarre. In fact, she hasn't wrestled at all since a six-woman tag team match on SmackDown back in the middle of February. So she has not seen action in the ring for about 6 or 7 weeks now. So I was thinking maybe she's hurt, but she spoke to Alex McCarthy of TalkSport and said she's not injured. And when he asked her why she's not booked for WrestleMania, this was her answer. She said, "I cannot give you an honest answer. I don't know. I'm sorry, guys. It just didn't happen. Even if there was something, I don't know that I would tell you to spoil it. But yeah, it's okay. I'll be here for a long time. I might just jump the barricade and steal my own moment if they won't give me one. I've pitched stuff for WrestleMania just because there's been so many instances this past year where the pitches have gone through and it becomes easier to talk to certain people. I would have loved to have had a non-title match at WrestleMania, just a grudge type of match, something different other than just a title match. But there's always next year. I'm just so happy that more women are going to be represented, and I know the two title matches are going to be killer, so we can't really be bummed out about it. We have to look at the bright side, I guess." Well, that's a very diplomatic answer from Bayley. It doesn't really answer the question of why she was not put in a match on this show. Nick Khan is the president of WWE. He was on Colin Cowherd's Cowherd's podcast. Gave away two big female stars are coming back soon to TV. So if you don't like the spoiler, don't blame me. Blame Nick Khan. If you're not an AEW fan, then that's, I guess, the second con that you could put on your hate list. Tony Khan, now Nick Khan. Nick Khan said Becky Lynch is on her way back. He did not say when she is going to be back, but the way that he talked about it made it sound like her return was going to be imminent. The other name he mentioned, interestingly, was Ronda Rousey, whose contract was supposed to be up this month with WWE, so obviously she must have renewed, or maybe they're working on some kind of a new deal with her. I don't know when Ronda is coming back. I don't think Ronda is going to be at WrestleMania. But if Becky is on her way back any week now, you're only going to have this one chance to have her make a big return in front of actual fans. Not in front of the Thunderdome screens, but in front of an actual live audience. This is it. If she's coming back any week now, and this is the last WWE show in front of actual people, this is your only shot. You got two nights of WrestleMania. It's now or never. If you want to bring Becky Lynch back and make a big splash, make a big return, it's got to be here. And I said this on Twitter on Wednesday, and then, of course, I see Meltzer said something about it in the newsletter on Friday, but I tweeted this out on Wednesday. So you should be reading me. Don't even bother reading him. But I tweeted earlier this week, I put the idea out on Twitter. I said, you know, if they don't have a match in mind for Bayley, well, then just give her one of her ding-dong hello talk show segments on WrestleMania, and you bring Becky Lynch back as a surprise. You bring Becky Lynch back either as her guest, or Becky Lynch crashes her show and makes a very impromptu appearance. And it sounds like that very well may be what they have planned for WrestleMania. So we'll know in the next 48 hours if Bayley ends up having a segment on the show that gets interrupted by Becky Lynch, then that was the plan, and that's why Bayley doesn't have a match. Although I'm sure she would love to be in the ring, though. You can't tell me that that woman is not disappointed that she was left out of the... Now, she may not be as upset as Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair is somebody who has every reason to be pissed at the world for the way that situation was handled. But it is very strange. Neither one are injured, and Charlotte and Bayley have no match at WrestleMania 37. But that's what I would do. I would put one of the ding-dong hello segments on the show, have Becky make her surprise return there, and that way Bayley gets her moment. She gets her segment that people will be talking about, and Becky Lynch gets to make a big splash in a big stadium. It writes itself. There it is. So let's start with night one. WWE has now confirmed what will be opening the show. It is no longer a mystery. It is no longer a question. We now know what match is going to open WrestleMania 37 tomorrow night. And that is going to be the match for the WWE Championship. It will be Drew McIntyre challenging the almighty Bobby Lashley in your WrestleMania opener. Drew has talked openly about wanting to be the first entrance in front of live fans, and it looks like he's going to get his wish. The main event honor belongs to the ladies on night one, as it should, not for any reason other than the fact that this year, you know, maybe in other years it doesn't make sense. It might make more sense in other years for a different match to headline. But I looked at who the Royal Rumble winners were this year. We know Edge is headlining night two. We know this already. There's no reason that the other Royal Rumble winners shouldn't main event WrestleMania. If that is how they always build a Royal Rumble, you're going to the main event of WrestleMania, then put that person in the main event of WrestleMania. Don't bullshit us and jerk us around and oh, well, you're in the opening match. That's the main event of WrestleMania. No, it's not. No, it's not. Do I look like I have fucking idiot written on my forehead? Don't answer that. So this year, the stars align perfectly to have each Royal Rumble winner headline each night of WrestleMania. Makes total sense to me for that reason alone. And I'm not even a fan of how they've built the match up. They really dropped the ball on the build up to that SmackDown Women's title match. But I have no doubt in my mind it's going to be a great match. I think those two women are going to absolutely deliver, not a doubt in my mind. And so they should be in that spot tomorrow night. I think it's the right move to make. Now, I thought that Drew did an admirable job as the WWE champion. You know, some people were shitting on him and talking about how ratings went down and stuff. You can't put that all on Drew McIntyre. I mean, that's just a bullshit argument. He's not absolved from all the blame. I mean, you can pass the blame around. I mean, if he was that much of a draw, then maybe he would have retained more of the audience. But the circumstances were what they were. They were not ideal. He made the most of it. I thought he did a good job. And when he won the title, it was in an empty warehouse. I think they're going to give him his big moment here. I think that they are going to make it up. They're going to make it up to him for what happened last year. I think that's what we're going to have tomorrow night And unfortunately, if they do, it's going to come at the expense of Bobby Lashley, who finds himself in the middle of the biggest push of his career. Bobby Lashley finally wins the WWE Championship only a few weeks ago. The timing of the title change, though, was just all wrong. It's really a shame they didn't pull the trigger on this 6 months ago. Or maybe even waited until a little bit later this year. Because Lashley has really, ever since he won the United States Championship, they started building him in, as this just destroyer. They called him Lashley the Destroyer. I mean, this guy went from being somebody they didn't seemingly know what to do with to being just booked as dominantly as anybody since Brock Lesnar. He was mowing down guys left and right, rarely losing. I said to you guys in December or January, this guy is being groomed for the WWE Championship, or at least this guy is being groomed to go to the main event, possibly at WrestleMania. I mean, I could tell this months ago. Now, I didn't expect him to get the title in the way that he did and all the bullshit with Miz and the Money in the Bank briefcase. I thought that was dumb. But now he's the champion. And to think that it may only last for 6 weeks, 7 weeks, whatever it ends up being, it sucks. Because I think that there's definitely a lot more gas left in a Lashley run. And to give him a short, forgettable run, I think, would be a real waste. But the problem is they have no babyfaces on the Raw brand. So who would challenge him coming out of WrestleMania? If he beats Drew McIntyre, he would probably end up just wrestling Drew McIntyre again anyway. There would be another match between them on the next pay-per-view. When you get beyond Drew McIntyre and you look at the layout and the makeup of that Monday Night Raw roster, let's say Bobby Lashley retains and McIntyre, you know, kind of slides down the card a little bit. Who's next? Who are the next one, two, three challengers, babyface challengers to go up against Lashley and challenge him for the title? It's a very short list, if not virtually non-existent, based on all the people they've pushed. Jeff Hardy, the same Jeff Hardy who's tapped out about 16 times to the Hurt Lock on TV, and his position now is somebody who has absolutely no business being in the world title picture. It's not him. He's not the answer. I just don't understand. I mean, you know, I also look at the way they were booking Lashley as such a dominant badass. And in the last few weeks, I mean, so much has changed, you know, just in the last few weeks when you really look at the booking of this guy. Here's a guy who was fighting his own battles, right? He was swinging guys around in the Hurt Lock like ragdolls. And now he's putting a bounty on Drew McIntyre's head. And he's telling people in the locker room, if you beat up Drew McIntyre and you attack him and you take him out before WrestleMania, you'll get his spot. And he's throwing the challenge out there. The Bobby Lashley of 2 months ago wouldn't have done that. He would fight his own battles. This is after, by the way, yelling at his then fellow Hurt Business members, Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, that they had, I think, beaten up Drew McIntyre. And he was upset with them. He says, I don't need you to fight my battles for me. And literally in the very same backstage segment, he then... And the camera followed him into the Raw locker room. That was the first time he put the bounty on Drew's head. So they contradicted themselves in the same segment. They didn't even wait for the next week. In the same segment, they contradicted the writing on their own show. None of this makes any sense. The way they've pivoted with Bobby Lashley makes no sense unless you believe that they are just trying everything they can to make sure that people see Bobby Lashley as the heel going into this match tomorrow night at WrestleMania. And they don't want Bobby Lashley going out there and getting any semblance of a babyface reaction because it might take away from Drew McIntyre. And they want Drew, who I don't think Drew is going to be booed out of the building. They just want as strong a reaction as possible for Drew. And if that means making Bobby Lashley a little less interesting or a little more chicken shit, then so be it. But it just doesn't fit. It doesn't really fit the character. It doesn't fit the way they've been booking him up until this point. The booking is just, it's just been bad. You know, they broke up the Hurt Business, as I mentioned. And this was after they already announced the Hurt Business would be banned from ringside when they lost that handicap match on TV to Drew McIntyre. Now, breaking them up, you know, breaking them up was just the cherry on the shit Sunday. There's no sense in even trying to make heads or tails out of that. You know, it's a Vince McMahon call, and it's just very dumb. It's one of those things that was done for the sake of being done. It didn't have to happen. It was premature. There was still time to keep these guys together. And it's frustrating, but WWE booking in general, I find, is very frustrating. But I do believe that the end result of this is going to be Drew McIntyre getting his big win in Raymond James Stadium. I think Drew McIntyre is going to win. He's my pick. Drew McIntyre regains the WWE Championship, gets the big pyro celebration. That's how I see it going down. So they added a tag team turmoil match for a shot at the women's tag team titles on night two. So on night one, it's going to be Naomi and Lana, Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, Natty and Tamina, Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan, and the team of Carmella and Billy Kay. You know, I get that they wanted to put Carmella on the show. They wanted her to have a spot on the show. And they decided, well, we'll just put her together with Billy Kay. Because why not, right? Why not? You guys aren't doing anything. We'll just put you two together as a team. Had they put some thought into this, if they didn't have any better ideas, I would have at least reunited Peyton Royce with Billy Kay. And I wasn't even a big fan of the Iconics, but I know a lot of people were. So even if just for one weekend, why not just reunite the two of them? At least you'd make some people happy. Probably make the two of them happy. I don't think the two of them wanted to be broken up in the first place. Another fucking breakup that was done for no reason. Here I am all these months later still waiting for the great follow-up. You broke him up? Okay, great. What do you got in store for Peyton Royce? What do you got in store for Billy Kay? Still waiting. Let's just break him up for the sake of break. Oh, you know, I feel like Vince McMahon sets the countdown clock, his clock app on his iPhone, for these different groups, these different teams. There's only a certain amount of time, and when that timer goes off, time to break him up. Doesn't matter whether it's working or not. Doesn't matter if you have a better plan for them or not. Time to break him up. He's the kind of person who he'll check food in his refrigerator. And I'm not talking like milk or anything like that. But like, you know, certain items, if there's an expiration date on it, it's less an expiration date and it's more of a sell-by date. Not so much best if used by. But Vince is the kind of person, man, if he has a loaf of bread and that loaf of bread still looks good, it's not turning colors or anything, but man, it is the day after the date on there in the garbage. That's it. It's over. Everything, you once you get to that date, it's it. Done. Finished. He's very disciplined in that way. They had this dumb segment on Raw Monday night in the back. They do these segments where one team shows up to argue with another team, and in the middle of their promo, in pops another. And I'm watching this, and there were SmackDown women there. And it's not like they were there for a match. They were on Raw. They were in the back. I'm thinking, why are they there? Again, it's this quality control issue where nobody really pays any attention to this stuff. Well, I'm just thinking, why are these women here? What are you doing on Raw? You were just standing there? Tonight on SmackDown, they really wanted you to think that Natty and Tamina are going to win. It's a little too obvious. I'm going to go with Carmella and Billy Kay. Thank you, Coggies, in the chat. I forgot about that one, too. Otis and Tucker. Now, Otis is doing okay. He's got Chad Gable. And anything that rescues the career of Chad Gable is okay with me. So I'm happy that Chad Gable is getting television. I'm sorry to poor Tucker over there, but at least Chad Gable's still on TV. But that's another one, Otis and Tucker. I mean, all Otis did was trade one tag team partner for another. And Tucker doesn't even get any television time at all. He was in the Battle Royal tonight. It was the first time I've seen him on any of the main shows since the initial breakup angle with Otis. Again, let's just break people up for the sake of breaking them up. This has always been a Vince McMahon specialty. It's one of the things that has not changed. But I'm going with Carmella and Billy Kay. Reginald, right? Don't forget about him. Reginald is with Nia Jax now. Reginald has a history. Carmella brought him into the company. There's a history there. I think that that will play into the match in some way on Sunday. But to get to that match, they have to win the turmoil match first. So they're my pick. We have Seth Rollins one-on-one against Cesaro. Almost a decade with this company, this is Cesaro's very first singles match at a WrestleMania. He has been in Battle Royals. He has been in tag team matches. The guy has been a tag team specialist. They put him with everybody under the sun. And he always makes it work because he's that good. He made it work with Jack Swagger. They started to get over. He made it work with Tyson Kidd. They were both very talented. He made it work with Sheamus. Also very talented. He made it work with Nakamura. I would say that was probably, for me, the weakest of all the tag team. I'd probably put them above Swagger. But anyway, it's finally. The point is, finally. And I am going to give Daniel Bryan credit for this. I have no idea who is the deciding voice on giving Cesaro this push. Daniel Bryan has influence on the SmackDown creative team now. I find it to be too much of a coincidence. It had to be him. Good for him. Good for him putting a good word in for Nakamura, or Cesaro, rather, and fighting for him. He worked with him, too. He had matches with Cesaro. He put Cesaro over in the ring. I feel like he did everything he possibly could to help get him to this point. And now he has a big match on this show against the guy who has been in some pretty high-profile matches before. Right, Rollins cashed in Money in the Bank, one of the big moments in WrestleMania history. He's wrestled on the show, you know, Triple H. He beat Brock Lesnar for the WWE Championship. He's won the Intercontinental Championship. And Seth Rollins has a very impressive record at WrestleMania, although I think he lost last year to Kevin Owens. WrestleMania, though, is kind of his, it's kind of his event. But yeah, it is his first singles match. I'm not counting the match that Cesaro had last year with Drew Gulak on the kickoff show in the empty building. That doesn't count. This, to me, is the perfect opportunity to set Cesaro up as a number one contender, whether it's next month or in 2 months, for the Universal title. I don't see him winning the Universal title, but there's no reason why, especially if Roman Reigns retains, he's going to need people to face. There is absolutely no reason you can't get at least one pay-per-view title defense out of it against Cesaro. To do that, I feel like he needs to win this match. Rollins is enough of a made guy now where one loss is not going to mean anything really to his career. Plus, he's the heel. Cesaro needs this a lot more than Seth Rollins does. So for that reason alone, I'm going to go with Cesaro. I'm picking him to win. We have the New Day. Actually, you know, before we even get further along here, before we get to the all the other matches, let me check out some of your Super Chats here. Instead of saving them all for the very end, let's just go through some of your messages so far. See what you guys think. Where are we? There we go. Nayef, thank you for the $9.99. And Cameron Spencer says the cave-in sucks. Your thoughts on... He wanted my thoughts on the cave-in finisher. I mean, I like Cameron Grimes, but I think I've made my thoughts on that very clear. I think it's a terrible finishing maneuver. I agree. Just doesn't look devastating. And Rizzo, thank you for the 10 spot. Says it's so frustrating that the same company that does a great show like NXT, in a decent show like SmackDown, also does a god-awful show. We know what that is. Looking forward to WrestleMania. It is very Jekyll and Hyde. It's, look, I mean, you got different writing teams and different visions from different people. The only vision that matters at the end of the day is Vince McMahon, but you do have distinct writing teams for each show. It is hard to believe that some of the stuff this company produces as good as it can be, on the other channel on a different night, they can be producing something as awful as Monday Night Raw. I am blown away sometimes by the difference in quality between these shows, even in the same week. We have the New Day, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods defending the Raw Tag Team titles against AJ Styles and his bodyguard, Omos, making his in-ring debut here on this show. AJ Styles wanted to wrestle Triple H. That is the match that he wanted at WrestleMania this year. Triple H even said this week on one of the NXT conference calls that AJ came to him and requested the match. Just as AJ did with The Undertaker, and AJ got that match. He got that match last year. In fact, he headlined night one of WrestleMania with The Undertaker. And they had probably the best match of WrestleMania last year. He tried to do the same with Triple H this year. You know where AJ Styles made the mistake? I could tell you right now. AJ Styles made one very, very cardinal mistake. If he badly wanted that match with Triple H at WrestleMania, if he really wanted Triple H as his opponent, all he had to do was one very simple thing. Go on television and make a comment about Triple H's balls being in his wife's purse. And I guarantee you, had he done that, AJ Styles would be wrestling Triple H this weekend. You would think by now he's been in this company for a few years that he would realize this, but apparently not. That's all you got to do. CM Punk did it. Randy Orton did it. Just talk about his balls being in Stephanie's purse, and it's a guaranteed match. So AJ fucked up on that one. He didn't get the match he wanted. So because they had no better ideas for him, AJ Styles ends up in a tag team match this year where the main focus is not on him, but on his bodyguard, who is making his in-ring debut. Omos is 7'3". He started doing some house shows 6 months before the pandemic hit. He has not wrestled since. Now, I'm sure he's been practicing at the Performance Center. At least I hope he is. But he has not actually wrestled. Nobody has seen him wrestle since pre-pandemic. And even then, he was very limited in the number of matches that he had. So we really don't know what we're getting here with this guy. I'm very curious to see how he stacks up against Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal wrestled on Dynamite a few weeks ago and was better than I expected. And Shaquille O'Neal is older, a lot older than Omos is. He's almost 50 years old, is Shaq. But in that one limited tag, and this is also a tag team match, so it's not a match where he has to carry the load. He can, you know, spend a lot of time out on the apron. I'm curious to see who has the better showing, who has the better debut. Is it going to be Shaq or is it going to be Omos? If Omos is being trained in any way or helped by AJ Styles, who's one of the very best at this, then he might not be so bad. But he's probably not going to be that good either. You know, when you're that big, you know, you're going to be very limited in what you can do. I don't think he has to do much. Leave most of the work to AJ. When you've got AJ Styles in this match, you don't have to do a whole lot of work. You let him do his thing, and when you got to tag in and do your part, you tag in, you do your part, and you get back out. They follow that formula, I think they'll be okay. Styles got rolled up and pinned by Xavier Woods in 90 seconds on Monday's show. That's three straight losses now for AJ Styles, two to Xavier Woods and one to Kofi Kingston. There will not be a fourth, I predict. Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, they are transitional champions, I think, just to get the belts off the Hurt Business. So they did that. There was no reason to put the belts on the fucking New Day. I've lost track of how many times they've been champions. 11, I think 11 times maybe they've been champions now. It's ridiculous. So they were breaking up the Hurt Business. They had to get the belts off them. I think now they transition them over to AJ and Omos. I think the losing ends here. I'm predicting new tag team champions. Then AJ can go on television and talk about how he's won every major title in the company. He can add that to his Hall of Fame credentials. But it does feel like a waste of an AJ Styles match at WrestleMania. I mean, how many more of these does he have? You know, he's not getting any younger. He's already, you know, mid-40s now. He's talked openly about you know, having a certain shelf life on how much longer he wants to do this for. I mean, every wrestler says that. It's too bad. Too bad they didn't have anything better for him. But again, he wanted the Triple H match, and he didn't get it. That's his own fault. The balls. Always remember that. The balls. The balls will get you where you need to be. Braun Strowman against Shane McMahon in a steel cage match. Nobody has ever interfered in a steel cage match. You got to keep Elias and Jackson Ryker out of the ring. You put a cage around the ring, there's no way for them to get inside. We've never seen that happen before. This was the stipulation that Braun Strowman chose for this match. The entire basis of this is that Braun Strowman was bullied as a child and he was picked on and he was called stupid. That's the storyline here. He had people who used to call him stupid. And he doesn't appreciate Shane McMahon now doing the same to him. And you know, they do these storylines from time to time. They do these storylines focused around the idea of bullying. They have their anti-bullying campaign, right? Be a star. Be a star. So they do that. And every now and then they'll have a television storyline where, you know, the person being bullied prevails in the end. And it's a feel-good story. It did that with Nia Jax a few years ago. And then, inevitably, the babyface who prevails after being bullied ends up going heel and becoming a bully themselves, which is exactly what happened with Nia Jax. So that whole storyline years ago with Alexa Bliss, they were friends, and then Alexa started insulting her and bullying her. And once that whole story was over, it wasn't very long before Nia Jax was the bully herself on TV. So it won't be long before Braun Strowman is calling people stupid and bullying them on television as well. It's also very lazy storytelling. This is the second monster character the WWE has booked on television in a storyline. And this is only in the last 6 months where they're on television cutting promos and doing interviews talking about how they were bullied as a child. First, it was Lars Sullivan before Lars Sullivan vanished again from TV back into the wilderness with all of his Bigfoot friends. Now, he was talking about the fact that the kids used to pick on, when he was doing the heavy breathing in the promos, right? Because they told him, he says they told him to breathe through his nose and everything. So he was telling this story. I don't know why he was shirtless. He was in a studio somewhere sitting with Michael Cole, completely shirtless, doing this promo. Maybe that's why they bullied him in school, because he showed up for school with no fucking shirt on. And so they made fun of him. But we just got done seeing this was in November. October, November, we're seeing this guy on TV who was portrayed as a monster. Remember, he was dismantling Riddle and Hardy and all these different people on TV. You know, he's not tall like Braun Strowman is, but still, Lars Sullivan, they called him the freak. He would come out and just massacre people. And now this guy, it's like couch time with Dr. Melfi. He's sitting there in like a therapy session with Michael Cole as his fucking psychiatrist, and he's talking about how he used to be bullied. And I'm just thinking to myself, you know, in the history of monster characters in this company that we have seen over the years, whether it's Hall of Pain, Mark Henry, I mean, you can go up and down the list, for God's sake. You can go back 20, 30 years, right? Come up with other monsters, monster-type characters. Now it's Braun Strowman. Braun Strowman now doing the same thing on TV, talking about how he was bullied and picked on as a kid. And I'm just like, you know, if the creative geniuses in this company were booking WWE in you know, 1990 using 2021 booking, we would have had Andre the Giant talking about how he used to get picked on. And we would have had the fucking Undertaker talking about how all the evil demon spirits used to stick kick me signs on his back. And I mean, that would be the story. And how it, you know, it used to hurt his feelings. I don't care about the Undertaker's fucking feelings. That would have been horrible. But I feel like that's what they would do if he was around today. If those guys, those characters were around today, that's what we would be having on television. I don't care. I don't want to hear about Lars Sullivan's feelings. You want to add depth to the character, that's fine. Find another way to do it. This guy should be going out there just destroying people. I don't want to know why he was, you know, bullied and picked on as a kid. I don't care. I don't give a shit. Braun Strowman out there. I don't like it when people call me stupid. I don't care. This is the whole basis of this storyline. Why even Shane McMahon started calling him stupid? The whole thing is just is forced. It's just we needed something for Shane to do, so we'll have him turn heel and start calling Braun Strowman stupid. This storyline is stupid. That's what's stupid. This whole storyline is dumb. Putting all that aside, they needed an opponent for Shane. That's why we're getting this match. They wanted Shane McMahon on the show. They wanted Shane McMahon to dive or jump or be pushed off of something from a high level. Hence the cage. And that's why we're here. I don't know a single person who was clamoring for Shane McMahon. When they looked at this WrestleMania card and said, you know what this card is missing? It's not Bayley. It's not any of these other people. It's Shane McMahon. Where is Shane O'Mac? We need Shane McMahon on the WrestleMania card. Nobody was saying that. The only people saying that have the last name McMahon. Those are the only people who were saying that. So we end up with this match here. Strowman had no opponent, which would have been fine with me. And now we have this cage match, and we have Braun's fifth grade report card, and we have Braun being slimed with green goo, and we have Braun Strowman with choo-choo train sounds as he runs around the fucking ring. Boy, this storyline has given us quite the treasure trove of gold over the last, month and a half or so. Quite the quality television segments that this storyline has given us. I think the match, the storyline sucks, but I think the match might be fine. If they keep it short or if Shane takes some kind of spectacular bump from the top of the cage that takes him off television for 6 months, then it might be worth it. I figured Shane would run away from Strowman at some point, scale the pirate ship and jump off or be thrown off pirate ship. I think the pirate ship is, now they're building one as part of the set, but I think the pirate ship is in the back of the stadium, I believe, right? As part of Raymond James, I think it's in the back. So I assume that that's too far away. So we'll get Shane instead coming off the top of the cage. It's the only reason they're doing a cage match. Now, it's a good thing Shane McMahon doesn't live in a high-rise building or else he wouldn't be able to help himself. Braun is winning. Of course he's winning. I could have just said that. I could have spared you the last 5 minutes and just said, of course, Braun Strowman is going to fucking win. And that would have been the end of it. This needs to end. The storyline needs to die. The Miz and John Morrison against Bad Bunny and Damian Priest. They're saving Logan Paul for night two. Here on night one, we've got Bad Bunny, who by all accounts is taking this very seriously, and he has moved himself closer to the Performance Center. He's been training there in the last 3 or 4 months. He threw a working punch, or what I hope was a working punch, on television 2 weeks ago that actually looked pretty good, looked pretty stiff. He also has a net worth of around $16 million. And when you have a net worth of $16 million, you've got that kind of money, you can afford to buy yourself a nice car. For example, like a $3.6 million Bugatti. Bad Bunny is the owner of a $3.5 million Bugatti. He drove it to Raw Monday night. Nice white paint job on it. One of the most expensive cars. I don't know if it's the most expensive, but one of the most expensive vehicles in the world. And I have to say, it was Vince Russo, bro. Vince Russo, bro, of all people. I gotta give the devil his due. He made a great point that I saw. I don't know if it was on social media or where I saw this. Vince Russo made a great point about this storyline. And he talked about how here you have this celebrity in Bad Bunny, right? Here's this rich guy who drives around in a fancy car worth $3.5 million. And he is supposed to be seen as the babyface in this feud. there is something wrong with this situation. The fact that he is coming out in this fancy automobile, driving it around, kind of flaunting it and throwing it in people's faces, and he is supposed to be the baby, that is normally something that you would see from a heel. In fact, the entire way this whole thing unfolded on Monday night, the go-home episode of Raw this past week, from the moment he drove that car into the building to what happened after that, is tailor-made. Wrestling 101, it is tailor-made for a heel. But he is the babyface. He is the big name. And we've had celebrities come in and be heel. Floyd Mayweather, to his credit, I thought did a good job of coming in, and the people were booing the fuck out of him, and so they kind of pivoted and they turned him into the heel. And maybe he was going to be the heel anyway, but he was the heel in that feud. I don't think that was originally the way it was designed with him and Big Show. But they realized, this guy's a fucking heel. We can't have him coming out as a babyface. And once he was able to go out there and act like the arrogant jerk, you know, that he is, it worked out for the better. But they had Miz and Morrison. They defaced his car. They drew on it with red paint. They were making such a big deal about it. Just paint the fucking thing over again. Like, it's not like they took a sledgehammer to it. If they were going to destroy the windows and key the car and put dents in the car, that would have been different. But they were talking, they were like splashing some paint and drawing on it. I'm like, all right, if the guy could spend $3.5 million to buy the car, I think he can afford a fucking paint job. Like, let's not lose our marbles over this. The announcers were freaking out over this. But again, this is usually something that happens to a heel. Their fancy car will be destroyed. Remember when Randy Orton got gifted that car and Kofi Kingston poured paint all over it? JBL, what John Cena and the street street profits. What John Cena and Crime Time did when they drew all over the limousine, that was the whole JBL is poopy thing, which is better left forgotten in the dustbin of history. If Peacock wants to remove anything, let them remove that instead of removing some of this other stuff. So it is a little backwards here. They even piped in fake booze. When Bad Bunny went to the back, he raced to the back when he saw that Miz and Morrison were defacing his car. And he ran to the back into the parking garage or wherever the car was, and they actually piped in fake boos. As if the fans they're so upset that Bad Bunny's car was destroyed. It ain't my fucking car. What do I care? I'm supposed to feel sympathy for this guy because his $3.5 million car had a little bit of red paint on it. So Russo is right. This whole thing is just completely backwards. Miz and Morrison ambushed him. He beat him up. By the way, when you read about the real story behind this car, it only makes him out to sound like even more of a heel. He spent all of his money on this car, right? He spent all this money on this car. And now he doesn't know what to do with it. There was a story in a Spanish, online Spanish newspaper. I think it's called Marca, M-A-R-C-A. The story is that he doesn't know what to do with it. He can't drive it around anywhere. He can't drive it around in Puerto Rico because everybody knows who he is. It attracts so much attention. All anybody wants to do is take pictures with him and take pictures with the car. And he gave quotes, I guess, to the publication and said, or he gave quotes to someone and they printed it. But he was complaining. He goes, oh, I can't even drive this car around without being stopped. I feel so bad for him. If I didn't know any better, I would say this guy is such a fucking heel. So, very, very, very strange. In fact, I pulled the quote here. I got to read this to you. Where is it? Here we go. This is from Bad Bunny. Never in my life did I imagine that this bastard car was going to create so much controversy and they were going to take so many photos of it. From my heart, I do not know what to do with this bastard car because I brought it to Puerto Rico and everything was a problem. Insurance, government, taxes, a fucking movie. Now I have it in the United States, but here I could not have it for another minute because every time I went out with it, they knew it was me. Well, excuse me while I string the world's smallest violin. So Damian Priest suggested they turn it into a tag team match, which I said a few weeks ago this might happen because the report from PW Insider was that Priest and John Morrison were nursing minor injuries. I think Morrison had like a minor knee injury. Priest may have had some kind of an injury. But if they were cleared in time for WrestleMania, they would just turn it into a tag team match. And that's exactly what happened on TV this week. It's a great spot for Damian Priest. He gets to be associated with a celebrity. It's his first WrestleMania match. So that's for him, that's a big deal. And look, I think Damian Priest can be one of the top five stars, maybe. I don't want to say three, but I would say top five stars on that Raw brand going forward. Not necessarily right at this moment, but you know, going forward, absolutely. He has the potential to be that. I thought that he was very good in NXT. And there's the potential for him to get even better. You know, he's got a good look. He could talk. I think he kind of checks all the boxes off. Size is still a very big issue in WWE. Even though wrestling is more of a small man sport now than it was 10, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it's still a big man sport, especially in WWE. Maybe less so in other companies like AEW or Ring of Honor. You don't have too many guys who are 6'5", 6'8", 7 feet, but this is still a big man's company. As long as you know who is in charge, it will always be a big man's company. And if you have a big man who can work, who's got charisma and personality and can talk, then barring injury, he should go far. And I think he could definitely be one of the players on that Raw brand, without a doubt. Bad Bunny, for his part, again, I thought he cut a good promo in the ring. He cut a promo on Monday night. I thought it was good. He talked about watching WWE as a child with his family, watching every pay-per-view, every Raw, every SmackDown. But now he doesn't know what to think after this experience. You know, watching every Raw, every SmackDown, and every pay-per-view will do that to you. Bad Bunny is all of us. That is something I think Bad Bunny and I can relate to. We can be amigos because he and I have that in common. I very often will watch Raw and SmackDown and these pay-per-views, and I won't know what to make of any of it. So we have that in common. He said he's not a wrestler, but he's a man. Miz crossed the line at WrestleMania. He's going to whip his ass. There's only one right outcome here. That is a victory for Damian Priest and the Rabbit. Bad Bunny. I think they're going to win. They're my pick. The Miz went from being WWE champion to hopping around last week in a bunny costume. Never forget that. Nothing is gained with a Miz and Morrison win here. This should be about getting Damian Priest over. That is the only goal they should have in this match, is to get Damian Priest over to that next level. And you do that with a win. And in the main event of night one, Sasha Banks will defend her SmackDown Women's Championship. We now know this is going to headline the show. This will close out the show tomorrow night. Defending against the winner of the 2021 Women's Royal Rumble match, Bianca Belair. Talk about a quick rise for Bianca Belair. Look at this woman's career. Ever since she hit the main roster, she only made her real full-time main roster debut back in October. From that to winning the Royal Rumble in January and now headlining WrestleMania in April, that is quite the rise to stardom for Bianca Belair. Possibly winning the Women's Championship too, not just going to the WrestleMania main event on night one, but possibly walking away with championship gold. Sasha Banks was really healing it up in her promo on television. She's very obnoxious when it comes to that fake laugh. Which, if you're a heel, then that's great. So she totally comes off to me as being a heel. I don't know any babyface that would have that obnoxious of a laugh. So she's positioned as the heel, I think, here going into this match tomorrow night. But the build-up to this, it's just, you know, it should have been so simple. You have two women who are very confident in themselves. Two women who believe that they are the best. Period. End of story. And you can have segments on television or matches on television each week where one woman is trying to upstage the other. You could have showed training vignettes. They did some very effective training videos with Sasha Banks around I want to say it was SummerSlam a few years ago. Or it might have been after Sasha made her comeback, showing her training with Amazing Red at the House of Glory School in Queens. Kind of going back to her roots. And she even did some training over in Japan, I think, with Meiko Satomura for a few days. This is when she was away for a while. She took some time off. You could have done videos that showed Sasha in training. You could have had videos that showed Bianca in training. That alone would have been a very effective way. Go the Rock-Brock route, when they had Rock and Brock Lesnar building up their match at SummerSlam in 02. You could have done a build-up like that, and that would have, I think, been perfectly fine. Instead, what they did was they had to work Reginald the Champagne Snob into the storyline. They did the whole tire trope of, you know, the two opponents together being forced together or coming together as tag team partners. We've seen this a million fucking times before. It's just so uncreative. And throwing Reginald in the mix almost single-handedly just completely ruined and sabotaged the entire build-up to this match. It had nothing to do with him. He had no business being involved in any of this. You didn't need him to kind of create this issue between these two women. He didn't need to have anything to do with any of this. So the way they built this up has been a big disappointment. The one thing I feel like they got right was the whole thing where Sasha was kind of talking down to her, calling her rook, you're a rookie. But, you know, that's more of the direction I would have gone in. I would have really gone all in on that and just cut out all the other bullshit. So it dampened the build, but this is still one of the matches I'm most looking forward to on either night of WrestleMania this year. I think Bianca Belair and Rhea Ripley, who are both competing for championships, both women are competing for the women's titles this weekend. I think Bianca and Rhea are two of the women to lead these divisions for years to come. They're going to be the ones. They're right behind Charlotte and Sasha and Becky. Are women like Bianca and Rhea. They're bringing it up the rear. But they're the ones that are going to be carrying these women's divisions for the next 5 to 10 years or whatever it may be. I believe that. I see this as the first chapter of a longer story. Sasha Banks has yet to win a match at WrestleMania. Sasha Banks is winless at WrestleMania. She's like the reverse Undertaker. This is also her first singles match at a WrestleMania, which is kind of hard to believe. So I guess her and Cesaro have something in common. I think her streak continues. I think Bianca Belair is going to win the SmackDown Women's Championship. She's my pick to win. The stars are all aligned for a big Bianca Belair victory tomorrow night. Bianca is also making her own ring gear for WrestleMania. There's a great video that WWE put up on their YouTube channel, or it might have been the Performance Center YouTube channel, one of the two, showing her making her gear for her match. I mean, that alone should win this woman the title. I mean, who else on the WrestleMania card can say that they have made their own gear for this year's show? This woman does it all. I say give her the title for that reason alone. Multi-talented. But this will not be one and done. This is going to be the first of several matches these women have together. This better not be one and done. I think you have the real potential here for 2, 3, 4, you know, matches before it starts to get old. You could do an extended program between these two. I would have Sasha positioned as the clear heel. And so, you know, if and when Sasha loses tomorrow night, that could be what really sets her off to go full on heel, maybe on television this week. You know, she attacks Bianca or something. However they want to work it. I don't see this as being a one and done. There's no bigger stage, though, for these women than the WrestleMania main event. I think they're going to go out there. I think they're going to kill it. Main event, WrestleMania. We're going to find out how good these two really are. Rizzo, again, with the $10. Do you think WWE is being too cautious, waiting until allegedly August before starting to tour again? Better safe than sorry. I got no problem with that. It's better to be cautious than not. When you're dealing with, you know, putting people together, Because, you know, they're going to want people to get, they're not going to want to do these events in these small buildings where everybody's all spaced out. Plus, a lot of these buildings have their own rules and regulations. It's not up to WWE. This is the problem. This is why it's going to take time. It's not a matter of, like, however you feel about the situation. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter how I feel. Every state is operating under a different set of rules. So the way things work in Florida and Texas is going to be very different than it works in New York or California or Arizona or Minnesota. There's going to be a lot of places that simply do not allow them to run venues of more than 20 or 30%, let alone 50 or 100. You know, not everybody is open for business as if nothing's going on like the state of Florida or the state of Texas. So I think it's better if you're WWE. I mean, you just wait until you have more venues that you can run. They're not going to want to go back on the road and then stop again. They're not going to want to do that. They're having that issue in Japan right now. New Japan was starting to run, you know, higher capacity, and now they're going to have to scale back again. They're running baseball stadiums in May. They were hoping to get more people in there, and now, all of a sudden, cases went up again, I guess, and the restrictions are back on. So they're going to be running a baseball stadium next month, and they're going to have probably a cap of like 5,000 people that they can have in a stadium that fits, I don't know, 40,000 people maybe? I doubt that's what they had in mind when they booked that venue. So I think as a general rule, just wait until it looks like things are opening up a little bit more. Because you don't want to start back up on the road and then have to pull back and go back to the Thunderdome. When they're ready to go back on the road, that's it. It's back on the road. None of the start and stop stuff. And Coggies, had to donate and thank you for this past week's sound off. So much of that rich, hilarious, and ridiculous wrestling history. I listened to part one and two twice. Have a great Mania weekend and see you on the streams. I'm glad you enjoy the history segment. I put a lot of time into that. I'm doing it again this weekend. So the fact that you guys enjoy it makes me very happy. At least I know that it's not for nothing. We'll get back to more of your super chats in just a little bit. So get those in if you want me to read them or answer them. We got to talk about night two. We got to talk about night two of WrestleMania coming up on Sunday. Night 2 has Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler defending their women's tag team titles against the winners of tomorrow's tag team turmoil match, which, as I mentioned, I believe will be Carmella and Billie Kay. There are no winners here. There are no winners here. You're just trading one makeshift team for another. That's basically what you're doing. Reginald will get involved. But there's no real need to take the belts off Jax and Baszler until you have a real team for them to drop the belts to. Carmella and Billie Kay are not a real team. So I'm going to pick Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler to retain because I just don't see the sense in having them drop the belts to any of these teams. I mean, the Riot Squad is the closest thing to a real team. I mean, they are, I guess, a real team. But I don't see them winning the tag team turmoil match. We have Sheamus against Matt Riddle for the United States Championship. You know, I know it may not have been the most attractive WWE title match to book at WrestleMania, but Sheamus was being primed to challenge Drew McIntyre for the belt, and instead they blew the match early after a terribly uncreative way of having Sheamus turn on McIntyre. He just turned on him for just like some random dumb reason. It just sort of came out of nowhere. I thought they were building to something big, and then just one week, he just turned on him. Again, lazy booking. Lazy, uncreative booking. I don't understand. When you have all of these writers, and you have all of these ideas from different people, you know, they keep coming back to these lazy, uncreative ideas for a lot of these storylines on TV. This doesn't make any sense. But then he lost. And he had no obvious opponent for WrestleMania. So they started something up between him and Riddle. The good thing is that these two guys, you know, in the times that we've seen them have matches on TV, they always deliver. These guys work very well together. They've had some very good matches. I think on a stage like WrestleMania, they're going to have another very good match. I think this is going to be their kind of consolation prize in a way to Sheamus. I think that might be the way they view this. This is kind of their consolation prize to him. He ended up not being involved in anything really too high up on the card. So we'll put him in a United States Championship match with Riddle, and we'll give him a win. Not even all of the little magic birds flying out of Riddle's flip-flops can help him here. I think Sheamus is going to be your new United States champion. Riddle was not the original choice, do not forget, supposedly, to be the champion. It was going to be a triple threat match with Lashley, Riddle, and Keith Lee. And that was around the time that Keith Lee disappeared from TV. Supposedly, it's not an injury. I have no idea what's going on with Keith Lee. But the belief is that Keith Lee was going to win the title. He was going to win the United States title, probably pin Riddle, so that Lashley doesn't have to eat the pin, and Lashley would have gone on to do exactly the same thing that he ended up doing. But it very likely would have been Keith Lee right now as the United States champion. So I don't even think Riddle was planned to be their champion. I don't even think he was their first choice. And if Keith Lee does come back after WrestleMania, it actually works out better if Sheamus wins the belt, because you could do Sheamus and Keith Lee for the U.S. title. Or a three-way with Sheamus defending against Riddle and Keith Lee. We have Kevin Owens against Sami Zayn with Logan Paul at ringside. What exactly does Logan Paul do? Can someone answer that? I thought he was a singer, but I don't believe that's the case. So what does he do? I just realized that. I don't know what he does. Is he the boxer or is his brother? Because they were boxing. There was a segment where Sami Zayn interrupted a sparring session they were having. So are they both boxing, or, you know, are they professional boxers? What do they do for a living, I guess, would be my question. Kevin Owens desperately wants to jump off the pirate ship at Raymond James Stadium. He wanted to do it last year, and they couldn't go to Raymond James and say, I know he wants to do it this year. I don't think he's going to get his wish, but he is getting a match against his old rival. Fight forever, indeed. And the fact that Owens and Zayn are getting their first WrestleMania match one-on-one against each other, I think, is very cool. I think that they see this as a huge chance for them to go out there and really, you know, try to steal the show. This is probably the match these two guys, if you think about it, for as long as they've been friends for, this is probably a match that they have dreamt about having. And now they're going to have the chance to go out there and have their big singles match. Sami has not exactly been on a hot streak since losing the Intercontinental title to Big E. He's been filming his conspiracy documentary. You know what would be cool? I had this thought as I was watching SmackDown tonight, and I kind of jotted it down here. They've been doing the whole documentary thing. And, I mean, the documentary, I guess, is over now in storyline. He's about to premiere it. But I think it would be cool if, in the course of filming this documentary, it turns out that he inadvertently ended up filming something. His crew ended up accidentally filming something. Somewhere in the back at one of these shows, or maybe some of these shows, that ties into another unrelated storyline, or maybe even spurs or sparks a new storyline on the show. Yeah, because they got these cameras all over the place and they're constantly filming this guy. Well, what if they filmed something that was going on with somebody else on the card and it led to like a heel turn or something? And I don't know, I was just thinking maybe you can actually use this as a way to kickstart another completely unrelated storyline that has nothing to do with Sami Zayn. Just to give this a little more meaning. I only was thinking about this earlier, so I haven't really had time to flesh it out yet or anything, but I don't know. It was just a thought that I had. Maybe it would lead to something else. Maybe there's some greater purpose to all of this. But anyway, these two are not going to have a bad match. They're going to go out there. They're going to have a good match. You know, the one wild card here is Logan Paul. He's going to have some kind of involvement. On the show tonight, they did not announce whether he's going to be, you know, an enforcer. I mean... I don't know. Logan Paul is the guest enforcer, I guess, would be a little, well, be a lot of a bit of a joke. But he's going to be there. He's going to be, I guess, at ringside. They didn't exactly specify, but he is going to be on the show. He'll have some sort of involvement. You know, he was on SmackDown last week, and Kevin Owens, after he stunned Sami Zayn when he went to go walk away, he kind of brushed up against Logan Paul, shoved him out of the way. Logan Paul didn't seem very happy about that. If his ego will allow it, if he can put his ego on the side for a second, I think if at the end of all this, Logan Paul eats a stunner, I think that'll be a fun moment for the fans. So I think we'll see that. I think Logan Paul, in the end, you get more mileage out of it for Kevin Owens if instead of shaking the guy's hand, like if he was to turn on Sami Zayn or something, because they could do the whole thing where Logan Paul ends up like punching Sami Zayn. If it were me, I'd have Logan Paul eat a stunner. Or maybe he does that. Maybe he punches Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens basically pulls a Stone Cold and says, hey, fuck you, and he stuns him anyway. Sami Zayn and Logan Paul both should get dropped by Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens, he needs something, right? He lost to Roman Reigns all those times. He failed to win the championship. Give the guy something. Give him some kind of moment on the show that'll pop the crowd. Because that crowd, I don't think, is going to really want to cheer Logan Paul. But they'll cheer Logan Paul if he eats a stunner and takes a bump. Picking Kevin Owens to win the match. We have Big E defending the Intercontinental title in a Nigerian drum fight against Apollo Crews. Wale is going to perform Big E's song, Feel the Power, live for his entrance. Big E has the hometown advantage in Tampa this weekend. The video package with him on SmackDown tonight, he was cutting a promo from the chair in his barber shop as his barber was cutting his hair. They showed him, you know, around different places in Tampa. They showed him on the football field talking about how he used to play at Raymond James Stadium. And he said that this is where Apollo's intercontinental dreams come to die. He held the belt up to the camera. I thought this was some grade A intensity here from Big E. That was the real theme of the show tonight. From Daniel Bryan to Edge to Big E. They showed a lot of fire. They showed a lot of passion in their promos. That's something that's missing from a lot of WWE promos. That just passionate delivery where you believe that this guy believes or the woman believes in what it is that they're saying. And it doesn't just feel like they're reciting lines. It feels like they actually believe the words that are coming out of their mouth, that they feel the way that they're projecting on television. And we got that here with Big E. This was great. This may have been, seriously, this may have been the best promo or promo work that Big E has done in his entire career. Maybe what we saw tonight. Apollo Crews had described a Nigerian drum fight as something his ancestors created for those who are wounded to be able to make things right. There are no rules, there are no limitations, just a beating so loud that it sounds like a drum. He wants Big E to know what it feels like to be beaten like a drum. He should have introduced him to Ricochet. In the time since these two first began wrestling one another a few months ago, Apollo has gotten a makeover. He's a heel. For one thing, he's a heel now. That's kind of a big deal. He went from being a babyface to being a heel. He has embraced his Nigerian roots. This will also be, by my count, I believe his fifth opportunity challenging for the Intercontinental title since January. He has been unsuccessful up to this point. It's his match stipulation. So when you consider all of this stuff, I mean, what is the point if this doesn't end with an Apollo Crews win? If he doesn't walk out of WrestleMania with the Intercontinental title? Seems like this is his moment. He really should win this match. I'm predicting an Apollo win and a new Intercontinental champion. We have Asuka defending the Raw Women's Championship against Rhea Ripley. Christopher Travers, what's going on in the chat? Just want to shout out some of our loyal listeners here tuning in on a Friday night. Welcome, by the way, to those who popped in late. Rare Friday night stream here on the Sound Off channel. We're talking WrestleMania predictions and SmackDown from tonight, which actually overall was a pretty good show. The matches themselves, I thought the SmackDown Fatal 4-Way match was a lot of fun, all action. The Andre Battle Royal was every Battle Royal you've ever seen. Nothing special at all about it. What carried the show tonight, though, was what carried the show tonight was the promo work. Which brings us to Asuka and Rhea Ripley. This is Rhea Ripley's second WrestleMania match. Back-to-back years, both matches have been championship matches. Last year, it was the NXT Women's title that she lost to Charlotte Flair. Now she's challenging for the Raw Women's title. This came about at the very last minute after Charlotte was removed from the WrestleMania match with Asuka that they had began to set up. They were starting to set something up between these two. They were former tag team partners. And that was seemingly going to be the match of WrestleMania. Until WWE medically suspended her because they suspected that she was pregnant. Which turned out not to be the case. It turned out to not be true. So if you are Charlotte Flair, you have got to be mighty pissed off right about now. That you are healthy, you are cleared, you are ready to go, you are not pregnant. And yet you have no match on either night of WrestleMania when for the first time in over a year, they're going to be back in front of live fans. I'm Charlotte. I am fuming mad. I am not happy about that. But with an injury, or in this case, a false pregnancy, comes great opportunity for Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley is going to capitalize now. She gets a spot that she probably wouldn't have had before. She gets a coveted spot on the WrestleMania card. Maybe it would have been a triple threat. It's possible. Asuka was one of the MVPs, though, of the pandemic era last summer. You know, she won Money in the Bank. We found out that Becky was actually pregnant, and so they gifted her. I mean, she earned it. She won Money in the Bank, but they basically gifted her the Raw Women's Championship when Becky had to step away. And Asuka worked with Bayley. She worked with Sasha Banks. I mean, she was Asuka two belts. She was, you know, multiple time champion. She was all over the television shows. You know, all summer. All summer into the very beginning of the fall. Asuka was just all over the place. And ever since then, it's as if they just didn't know what to do with her. You know, she was working in a tag team with Lana. I mean, where the hell did that come from? So she was doing that for a while. She would have random matches on TV, and then she wouldn't be on TV for weeks on end. So it went from a situation where Asuka was really risking overexposure. They were almost to the point of overexposing this woman to not even knowing what to do with her and barely featuring her on TV, and she was the champion. And what that is a product of a weak women's division on Monday Night Raw. The Raw women's division has been very weak for a long time. And it got a little stronger when Charlotte came back. But it was still pretty bad. Right? And they had Lacey Evans, who now is gone because she got pregnant. Boy, there must be something in the water there. So Lacey got pregnant, now she's gone. But I wouldn't exactly call her one of the top players in that division, so didn't really hurt the division that much. But a good part of the fact that Asuka really just didn't have much to do is the fact that they had not done a good job of building up anybody else. I mean, you have Asuka and Charlotte, and you have nobody else. That's on the company. That's on bad booking for not doing a better job of building up the next 2, 3, 4 female contenders on that brand. You know, they broke up the Iconics. They did nothing with Peyton Royce. Who else is there? Who else have they really featured on the show in the women's division recently? They did a storyline with Lacey Evans and Ric Flair. That was their grand idea. They were actually thinking about, at one point, building to something with Charlotte and Lacey Evans at WrestleMania until Lacey got pregnant. So they did the feuding partners deal with Asuka and with Rhea. And Rhea, it's one of these things where that women's division needed Rhea Ripley. This is a very strange time to debut somebody new on your roster when you're this close to WrestleMania. But they almost had no choice because the women's division was in such dire need of a shot in the arm. Rhea Ripley is what they needed. So Rhea is now, last week, doing the tired trope of the feuding wrestlers being brought together as tag team partners. We've seen this multiple times recently. We saw it with Sasha and Bianca, which is the other women's feud, right, on the other show. We saw it with Finn Balor and Karrion Kross. You know, they keep going back to the same well, to the same ideas. They did that on Monday. Rhea betrayed Asuka. She is supposed to be the heel. Rhea Ripley is supposed to be the heel, I believe, going into this match at WrestleMania. I believe Rhea is now heel. She's also getting the live music treatment. She's getting the live music entrance at WrestleMania, which is usually a bad omen. It's one of the reasons why I think Big E is going to lose. So that has me worried. But Rhea Ripley should absolutely win the championship here. I think she will. I'm picking Rhea Ripley for the win. There are far more potential, you know, programs to me that are very interesting for Rhea Ripley already lined up than there are for Asuka. So for that reason alone, I'd like to see Rhea walk away with the championship. And just look, coming out of WrestleMania, Charlotte is going to be waiting right there. And there's a history there. There is a history between Rhea and Charlotte. So you can easily tell that story and revisit that feud. You've also got Becky Lynch may be coming back. And if she does, I don't know. You know what? I know Seth is on SmackDown. I don't know how important it is to have them on the same brand when you're all working out of the same building. So, you know, they can bring Becky back and put her on Raw. It's not like they're back out on the road running shows that are separate from the SmackDown crew. They're all working out of the same Thunderdome, so it almost doesn't even matter. But you have the potential of Becky coming back to Monday Night Raw. So those are just two of the options they have. We have Randy Orton. Oh, thank you. Bliss fan in the chat says Alexa Bliss. That's right. You know, I keep forgetting because Alexa Bliss hasn't really been wrestling much. But that is true. You have Alexa Bliss as well on Monday Night Raw. Randy Orton, speaking of which, your timing is impeccable here. Randy Orton goes one-on-one with The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. How do you follow up an Inferno match? You follow it up. You follow the big stipulation match with a straight wrestling match, which is what this is. You follow it up with a straight wrestling match between these two guys. No stipulations attached. It's just Randy Orton one-on-one against Bray Wyatt. The last time we saw Orton and Wyatt in a match at WrestleMania was 4 years ago in Orlando, and it was not pretty. And it did not end well for Bray Wyatt. It's very strange, though, how we are going from a stipulation match to a non-stipulation match. But they're going to be working, I assume they're going to be working, that this is not cinematic and pre-taped. I'm assuming they're going to be live in front of the audience. And because of that, they're going to have to keep the magic to a minimum. They're not going to be allowed to do some of these camera tricks and manipulations they've been doing on television with Bray and Alexa. Can't do that. When you're live in front of other people, you know, you can have, you know, exploding fireballs and stuff. You'll be able to do some of that, but they're going to be limited in what they can do in terms of all the magic. It would surprise me, you know, if they pre-taped this, though, it would surprise me because you got to think these two are going to want to work in front of an audience. So I don't really see that. Plus, we have not seen The Fiend. Think about this. The Fiend came on the scene in late summer, early fall of 2019. So we still haven't seen The Fiend get a big WrestleMania entrance. He was supposed to last year in the match with John Cena, and he never did. So I would like to see what kind of WrestleMania entrance The Fiend gets. I think they could actually put together something pretty special with that. So you got to do it in front of the people. You can't pre-tape something like that. Splice it in. You got to do it in front of the audience. You know, he was deprived of the big entrance last year. You got to give it to him this year. The Fiend has to win this. Fiend has to win this. The man was burned alive at TLC. Now he looks like the fucking Toxic Avenger. I mean, come on. Randy Orton cannot win this match unless the idea is just to completely write off The Fiend once and for all. Question is, what role will Alexa Bliss play in all of this? She will obviously be there. There's talk of her maybe getting her own Fiend mask. I'm wondering myself, I'm wondering how much longer she'll be with The Fiend. I mean, how much longer are they going to keep this going on for until she kind of, you know, snaps out of it in this trance, this spell that she's under? It's got to end at some point. Have we reached the end of it here? Or is this just going to continue on indefinitely? That's the question that we should be wondering. Could WrestleMania be it between The Fiend and Alexa? Or is it just the beginning? Because if she gets a new mask of her own, first of all, why would you want to put a mask on Alexa Bliss? That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. You want to put a mask on Bray Wyatt? That I can understand. To put a mask on one of the more, one of the most beautiful women that you have in the entire company. I mean, they already have like 5 pounds of makeup on her to make her look, you know, with the contact lenses and everything else. Why would you even think about putting a mask on Alexa Bliss? That makes no sense to me. So I actually hope they don't do that, because that would be really dumb. Look, even though, you know, I've not been a fan of all the segments here in this feud, some of them are better than others. There's been a lot of goofy shit during this storyline. Despite that, I have to give credit to Alexa Bliss because she has taken everything they have given to her, and I think Alexa is the real star. Honestly, the best part about all of these segments has been the work that Alexa Bliss has put into it. She has completely embraced this character. She has completely embraced this role. And I think that she has done a stellar job, even though I'm not really fond of a lot of these segments and Orton coughing up the black goo and stuff like that. But I will give credit all day long to the job that Alexa has done with this character. I don't know what they have planned here. But if it's a straight wrestling match, you know, I've seen it before with these two, and it ain't going to be very good. We've seen the match between Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton just straight up one-on-one, and it wasn't good. I was there. I would know. I was in the stadium. It was not good. But if it's not just a wrestling match, if it's, you know, if they got some smoke and mirror stuff planned, it really just depends on how creative they want to get with the gimmicks. But I think The Fiend has to win this, so I'm picking him to win. And finally, Roman Reigns defends the Universal Championship in the main event of Night 2. Really the main event of WrestleMania. If you got to narrow it down to one match, this is the match. This is the real main event of WrestleMania this year. Roman Reigns defends the Universal title, triple threat against Daniel Bryan. And the winner of the 2021 Men's Royal Rumble match, Edge. 10 years to the day that Edge was forced into an early retirement. How about that for a story? 10 years to the day in 2011. I said earlier, the promos tonight were outstanding from all of these men, more so Daniel Bryan and Edge. Roman Reigns had a good promo at the end of the show, but his promo couldn't hold a candle to what Edge and Bryan did. I'm still associating Orton and Edge. They're so linked. Orton and The Fiend, I've already talked about them. But Edge and Bryan did a tremendous job tonight. I mean, those two promos are money promos that will sell a lot of people, I think, on this match, on this pay-per-view, if they were on the fence about it. I really do believe that. I can't say enough good things about the promo work tonight. You can make the case for any of these three men to believably win this match. This is the least predictable match on this show. You can believe that they don't want to take the title off of Roman Reigns and that Edge will take the fall, or more likely, Daniel Bryan will take the fall. You can believe that Edge will win the championship because they have a redemption story there. Even though Edge has almost been positioned as more of a heel than a babyface, it is the big comeback story. Edge back for the first time in 9 years last year. And now, 1 year later, he's in the main event of WrestleMania. He won the Rumble. He wants to win the championship one more time. And he doesn't even have to pin Roman Reigns to do it. He can pin Daniel Bryan. That might be why Daniel Bryan is in this match, just to eat the losing fall, for all we know. And then there's Daniel Bryan. And you talk about a redemption story with Edge. On the flip side, you've got Daniel Bryan, who is the one true blue babyface in this match. He is the guy who is going to be cheered like crazy on Sunday. You're going to get people chant yes, jumping up and down. It's going to be like WrestleMania fever, almost like it was 7 years ago. They're going to want to see a repeat of WrestleMania in New Orleans. They're going to want to see Daniel Bryan go in there. They've been talking on television about how this could potentially be it for him in terms of WrestleMania appearances or WrestleMania main events. This could be it. This could be his last one. And if so, he wants to go out with a win. He wants to go out winning the championship. And what a great story that would be. And if they want to go off the air with a feel-good, happy moment and send the crowd home happy, their first event with fans, if they don't want to be Debbie Downer here at the end of this pay-per-view, then really, Daniel Bryan would have to be the logical choice to win. See? Any of these three could believably win this match. And I thought about each one of these scenarios and which one I think makes the most sense. You know, I think Edge and Bryan end up taking each other out. I don't mean to dinner. I think they end up taking each other out in the course of this match. And I believe Roman Reigns is going to pin Daniel Bryan. I think Roman Reigns is going to pin Daniel Bryan and retain the Universal Championship. And the reign of the Tribal Chief will continue. That is my prediction for this main event. They want to send the crowd home on a happy note, then Bryan is going to win. But you know what? Sometimes it's not about that. Roman Reigns should not be losing the championship just yet. Yes, you could take the title off of him without him being pinned, and he can show up on television next week and just completely wreck everyone in his path. He can go on the Samoan war path and want to get his championship back and then put the belt back on him a month or two later. Yeah, you're sure, you can do that. You can do that, but I wouldn't. I would keep the belt right where it is. I would keep the belt right around his waist, and I predict that that is what is going to happen. And coming out of WrestleMania, there are plenty of names. You know, for all the issues they have on the Raw side, finding baby faces. Let's say if Bobby Lashley was to retain. You almost have the opposite issue, I feel like, on SmackDown. Because coming out of the show, if the heel, if Roman Reigns was to retain the Universal title, you know, coming out of the show, you got Edge. You could still do one-on-one Edge and Roman Reigns after WrestleMania. Daniel Bryan. Could always come back to Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan one-on-one. Although I would think coming out of WrestleMania, it would probably be Edge and Bryan, and then Roman would move on to someone else. What better person for it to be than someone like Cesaro? If Cesaro wins his match with Seth Rollins, you now have Cesaro who could challenge Roman Reigns. Now, at a pay-per-view. It just has to be one pay-per-view. You don't have to do more than that. I wouldn't expect him to win. You could get a pay-per-view title match out of Cesaro. Absolutely. So you can set him up. You've got someone like Big E. If Big E drops the Intercontinental title to Apollo Crews, I don't think it would take very long to build up Big E a little bit. He'd have to win some matches first. Get him to that level where he can challenge Roman Reigns for the Universal title. Maybe they even try to push that off until SummerSlam. Build him up a little bit more. We get more promos from Big E, like the ones we got on the show tonight. That Big E, I could see him challenging for the Universal title. And that's not even all the names they have that they could potentially go with on that SmackDown brand. So they've certainly got more options, I feel like, than Raw does. I think Roman Reigns is the smart choice. I think Roman Reigns is the way to go. And that is your WrestleMania rundown for nights 1 and 2. Man, that's a lot of matches. What do we got here? It's 2 hours worth of matches. Wow. That is 2 hours worth of matches coming up this weekend at WrestleMania. But again, chime in and let me know what you guys think. You know, am I on the ball here? Am I really way off on the main event? Who do you think is walking out? You know, is it going to be Roman? Is it going to be Bryan? Is it going to be Edge? Is it going to be a mystery man who gets involved? Is Hulk Hogan going to come out? Is Paul Heyman going to tell Hulk Hogan? Hulk Hogan's going to be there. Hulk Hogan is going to be hosting with Titus O'Neil. And so maybe we're going to get a repeat of WrestleMania 9, brother. And after Roman Reigns retains, Paul Heyman gets on the microphone and Hulk comes down to check on Daniel Bryan. And Paul Heyman says, Hulk Hogan, we challenge you to a championship match. And Hogan gets in the ring and, you know, Paul Heyman throws some of that Samoan salt, accidentally hits Roman in the face. Hogan hits the leg drop. His hip completely explodes and disintegrates, but he crawls himself over. His decrepit body, he drags it over. And he covers Roman Reigns and he wins the title one last time. I put nothing past Vince McMahon, by the way. One last Hogan run, he may see some money in that. Anything can happen, right? You never know. You never know what's going on in that guy's head. That's what makes it so scary. Check your super chats out. The ones that I did not get to. Vitamin Vision TV dropped 10 bucks a little bit earlier. 2 hours ago. Wow. One of the weakest buildups to WrestleMania in recent times. I'm just going to approach the show with an open mind. Well, that's the best way to do it. Rodimus Prime with the 20 bucks. One match you're looking for to, forward to at WrestleMania either night. Well, on night two, it's probably the main event. And on night one, it is the women's title match. So it's the main events, honestly, on both nights. Those are the matches I'm most looking forward to. Andrew Lolivar, the question is, does WWE want to end the night on a happy note with Bryan or go with a 10-year storyline with Edge or continue dominant Roman? Well, you basically just outlined all of the options for the match. So, yes. That is, those are the options that are in front of us. James Hollins, is it fair to say that this women's tag team division is worse than, I think that means AEW's women's division? Do you have a team that you actually like? In the WWE women's division right now? No. I don't think I do, no. Tibbs with the 20 bucks. Thank you, man. Your streams and show will be the best part of WrestleMania week. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. That's very kind of you to say that. Trey Knight had to donate again for the Edge Tribal Chief. You like the Photoshops? We'll put that back up on screen here before we end the stream. Some people may have missed it earlier. Pedro Velasquez, thank you for the 10. I'm currently recovering from an awful week. Your podcasts have been helping me clear my mind. Thank you. Also, I buy your John Laurinaitis impersonation and sell on your Vince Russo bro. That was not my best Vince Russo. You haven't heard my best Vince Russo. My best Vince Russo is much better than my John Laurinaitis. Burnt dry chicken without flavor. Crazy scenario. If Baron Corbin gets cheered at WrestleMania for the first time, what are the chances? Baron Corbin is not going to be at WrestleMania. Baron Corbin was on SmackDown tonight. That is where he shall stay. Let the king stay in his castle and stay home. The Genius sent a $2 super chat. DoorDash a steak. Use this super chat as a DoorDash tip. I don't know about getting filet mignon from DoorDash. That doesn't sound right to me. I've never tried DoorDash before anyway. Burnt dried chicken, what high stakes? If Battle Royals was for a free steak dinner, WWE should pay for my tab for the entire year. Bring it on, I will step into the ring. Thank you, Marston Hackett, for subscribing to the channel. Yes, if you have not subscribed to this channel, this is a great time to do so. Even though I have some people who have told me that they are subscribed, and they have hit that notification bell, and they're not getting notifications. And it really pisses me off, and I've asked YouTube about it before, and they never have a good answer for me. So, honestly, the best thing you can do, if you were to tweet at Team YouTube on Twitter, you want to tag me in that too, and complain to them and say, hey, man, I'm subscribed to at Solomonster's channel, and I've got notifications on, and I'm not getting any. What's going on? What gives? But make sure you got that bell in the on position to make sure you're getting notifications, because it could be that your bell is not completely turned on. Paul Heyman, I know how much you're waiting to see an Omos dive. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait for the Omos 450. Or better yet, the Omos Spanish Fly. I'm so excited. Can't you tell? John Falchetta, Diesel would cry about the kids making fun of his torn quads and six moves. Ryan Spies, I'm not invested in Soulja Boy versus Randy Orton. Then Orton against The Fiend, to be honest. Man, people are leaving words out left and right here. I believe he meant to say, I am invested in Soulja Boy against Randy Orton more than Orton and The Fiend. I'm not invested in either one of them. They could all just friggin' kill each other for all I care. Steve Heredia. Bakersfield Big Shot here, still currently at work. Just thought I would say hello to everyone. Well, thank you for chiming in, Steve. Emmanuel Medhane. YouTube does not send me YouTube does not send me notifications of your live streams. I hate it. Thanks for everything you do. Ready for Mania Weekend. Well, how about that? I just got done talking about that. Yeah, again, at Team YouTube. Be kind. But you can tag me and say, look, I'm not getting notifications. How do we fix this? This needs to be fixed. Hopefully they'll be able to figure it out. It's all good, Paul Heyman. It's all good. Jay Baker. Rhea is making her gear too. I hope she beats Asuka. Well, I guess we're going to see who makes the better gear, either Rhea or Bianca Belair. All the more reason for these two women to be the faces of these women's divisions for years to come. They are multi-talented here. They can work, and they can make their own gear. Brian Becerra, who was one of the winners in the Wrestle Rumble contest last night. Hey, Solo Monster, after a long day of work, unwinding and listening to you. That is a very wise choice on your part. Jamal Lapsley, I hope Bobby retains and then has his run as a heel, and then it's SummerSlam. Give him the match with Lesnar and have him win, and then the new Money in the Bank cash it. I don't know what Brock Lesnar's plans are, but I don't see him coming back anytime soon, let alone to lose in his first match. Angry Magma, thank you for the super chat. I said Angry Mama. It would have been funnier. Paul Heyman, should WWE call up Adam Cole to the main roster and do a love child storyline with him being the long-lost son of Michael Cole? Thank you, Paul Heyman. No, by the way. Ali Nadine. Weird to think that this is the only second WrestleMania main event for both Edge and Daniel Bryan, while Roman Reigns is probably up there with Hogan and Triple H. Once Vince has his guy, he just latches onto them. You can get 10 WrestleMania main events out of that guy. And Ryan Spies with the final super chat here says, based Omos. Boy, we have a whole Omos fan club here in the chat. BlissFan says there is going to be a thunderstorm on Sunday in Tampa. I thought it was going to be clear, but I haven't checked the forecast because I'm not going to be there. So I don't care what the weather is going to be. I'm not going to be sitting out there. I know what it's like to be at WrestleMania when it starts to rain. Thankfully, though, the times that it rained, it was just drizzle. It wasn't that bad. It rained a little bit in Miami. It rained in New Jersey for 29 a little bit. I think Orlando a few years ago was fine. New Orleans, both of them were indoors in the Superdome or the Silver Dome, Hogan. And last year they didn't have to worry about any of the weather conditions. So yeah, no, I haven't checked the forecast, but if it's going to rain, I'm sure they have a canopy over the ring. I mean, the wrestlers will be fine. The fans, maybe, you know, not so much. So tomorrow night is night one of WrestleMania, And I am hoping that you guys will come right back here to YouTube, because I'm going to be covering all of the matches tomorrow night. We're going to run through the entire card. We're going to be doing a Wrestle Rumble contest tomorrow night for some belts. On Sunday, I'm going to be dropping episode 699 sometime early afternoon. Yeah, I'll try to do it well before WrestleMania, but it might be close because I got a lot of work left to do. But that'll be episode 699 on Sunday on all the usual platforms. Not just Podbean, but iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, all of the usual places. And then we'll do night two, right here live on YouTube, WrestleMania. And we will do another Wrestle Rumble contest. We're giving away a very fancy Stone Cold custom replica belt that comes in a case. The whole thing is like 40 pounds. Wrestle Rumble was telling me about this thing. This thing is quality shit. So if you want the chance to win, it's only a buck to enter. Go to WrestleRumble.com, get in on that. And we'll have the live drawing here on the air on Sunday night. And I think that's it. I think we're done here, guys. Look at this. Over 2 hours. This went longer than SmackDown. I'm quite partial. I think this was better than SmackDown, although I didn't cut any promos like Daniel Bryan and Edge did. But thank you for joining me on a Friday night, a rare Friday stream. Big Mo wants to know, am I doing an episode 700 special? I am. Episode 700 is going to be pretty much a regular show next Sunday. But I'm going to be doing a live inbox on YouTube, kind of like what I did on New Year's Eve. So if you start to email me questions now, thesolemonster@gmail.com, I'm going to be picking a whole bunch of your questions to answer live on the air. And we'll have one big celebration, celebrating 700 episodes of the podcast. So that'll be on Sunday night, April 18th. The work never ends. It's a lot of stuff coming up here in the month of April. So that is what we're going to be doing. I hope you guys will join me for that as well. Have yourselves a great weekend. Enjoy WrestleMania if you are tuning in. Be well. Stay safe. Thank you for all of your support. Please hit that thumbs up on your way out. Don't forget to do that. Hit that thumbs up on the way out. And I will see you guys again tomorrow night for night one of WrestleMania here on the Sound Off channel. Take care, guys.